And star. Now I recognize the dark boy as Dink Rivers, the boy from Middletown, and the other as myself. This is a high school play. We have just taken the west side of the river. This is the conquest of Yaswada. Good evening, Archap. A good crossing. Yaswada disintegrated. A slow insouciant shrug of rocks and stones and trees spreads a golf course along the river now several hundred yards away. Two caddies stand in a sand trap. One rubs his crotch and the other makes a jack-off gesture. Music from the country club on a gust of wind. Red brick buildings, cobblestone streets. It is getting darker. Dusty ticket booth. A sign. The Billy Celeste High School presents. Cities of the Red Night. I lead the way through rooms stacked with furniture and paintings, passageways, partitions, stairways, booths, cubicles, elevators, ramps and ladders, trunks full of costumes and old weapons, bathtubs, toilets, steam rooms, and rooms open in front. A boy jacks off on a yellow toilet seat, catcalls and scattered applause. We are in a cobblestone alley. I look at my companion. He is about 18. He has large brown eyes with amber pupils, set to the side of his face, and a long straight Mayan nose. He is dressed in blue and brown striped pants and shirt. I open a rusty padlock into my father's workshop. We strip and straddle a pirate chest, facing each other. His skin is a deep brownish purple-gray underneath. A sharp musty smell pulses from his erect phallus with its smooth purple head. His eyes converge on me like a lizard's. What scene do you want me to act in? Death baby fucks the corn god. We open the chest. He takes out a necklace of crystal skulls and puts it on. There is a reek of decay as he drapes me in the golden flesh of the young corn god. We are in a vast loft-attic gymnasium warehouse. There are chests and trunks, costumes, mirrors, and makeup. Boys are taking out costumes, trying them on, posing and giggling in front of mirror, moving props, and backdrops. The warehouse seems endless. A maze of rooms and streets, cafes, courtyards and gardens. Farm rooms, with walnut bedsteads and hooked rugs, open onto a pond where boys fish naked on an improvised raft. A Moroccan patio is animated with sand foxes and a boy playing a flute, stars like wilted gardenias across the blue night sky. A number of performances are going on at the same time, in many rooms, on many levels. The spectators circulate from one stage to another, putting on costumes and makeup to join a performance, and the performers all move from one stage to another. There are moving stages and floats, platforms that descend from the ceiling on pulleys, doors that pop open, and partitions that slide back. Audrey, naked except for a sailor hat, is tipped back balancing in a chair while he reads a comic book entitled, Audrey and the Pirates. Jerry comes in naked with an envelope sealed with red wax. Open it and read it to me. Oh sir, it's battle orders. We. Audrey ejaculates. On deck, naked tars throw their hats into the air, jacking off and leaping on each other like randy dogs. We. They scramble into uniforms as bugles call them to battle stations. The fever, a red silk curtain scented with rose oil, musk, sperm, rectal mucus, ozone, and raw meat, goes up on a hospital ward of boys covered with phosphorescent red blotches that glow and steam the fever smell off them, shuddering, squirming, shivering, eyes burning, legs up, teeth bare, whispering the ancient evil fever words. Dr. Pearson covers his face with a handkerchief. Get it out of here. Yenli looks at a painted village with his binoculars. Taped voice, we see Tibet with the binoculars of the people. In a stone hut, a naked boy lies on a filthy pallet. Bright red luminescent flesh clusters glow in the dark room. He rubs the clusters with a slow idiot smile and ejaculates. Yenli sags against a wall with a handkerchief in front of his face. It's the pickle factory. A health officer is on the way. The health officer is on the nod on his porch over a sluggish river. The huge bloated corpse of a dead hippopotamus floats slowly by. The health officer is oblivious. Taped voice, for he had a sustaining vice. On a riverbank with Ali standing over him, he looks with horror at his torn pocket and empty hand. Backdrop shifts to another bank. With the same expression, Farnsworth looks down at his naked body covered with red welts. Ali stands over him smiling, the red welts a dusky rose color on his reddish-brown skin. Marine band plays Semper Fi. Picture of a privy on a door with a bronze eye under the sickle moon. Audrey, as Clem Snide the private eye, is sitting in a sunken room open at the top. The audience is looking down into the room so they can see what he is looking at, photos of Jerry baby pictures, age 14 holding up a string of cutthroat trout, naked with a heart on. Jerry live on stage, naked with his hands tied, face and body covered with red blotches, a baneful red glow behind him. He is looking at something in front of him as his penis stirs and stiffens. Scattered applause and olays from the audience. Banner headlines in red letters, mystery illness spreads. On a hospital bed, Jerry spreads his legs with a slow wallowing movement, showing his bright red asshole glowing, pulsing, and crinkling like a randy mollusk. He twists his head to the right, eyes spluttering green flashes as he hangs. A sepia cutback to the hospital bed. He ejaculates, kicking his legs in the air. Jimmy Lee, as a male nurse, catches his sperm in a jar. Thunderous applause. Ole. 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 The jar is passed to four Marine guards and rushed to a top secret lab. A scientist looks through a microscope. He gives the okay sign. Bouquets of roses rain on stage. Red letter headline, national emergency declared. Stoplights. Quarantine posts. Soldiers with their pants sticking out at the flies clutch their throats and fall. Newscaster, it is impossible to estimate the damage. Anything put out up to now is like drawing a figure out of the air. A diseased face with a slow idiot smile is projected onto the newscaster's face from a magic lantern. The world's population is now approximately what it was 300 years ago. Boys on snowshoes reach the Hayman. Steam and naked bodies fade to a misty waterfront. Opium Jones is there with patches of frost on his face as the boys sign on in the ghostly cabin of the Great White. Dinner at the Pemberton's. Candlelight on faces that suggest made-up corpses. Only Noah, his boyish face flushed, looks alive. The conversation is enigmatic. Are they doing mummies to standard? This is the ants' language. We still don't have the nouns. You need black money. A master's certificate to be sure. Suitable crops. Are you in salt? Bring a halibut. A good the sea. They all look at Noah, who blushes and looks down at his plate. Draw the spirits to the plot. The family business. It probably belongs to the cucumbers. Cheers, here are the non-dead. The boys are back on the Great White. A shout from the cabin boys brings them out on deck. Jerry, with a noose around his neck, grins a wolfish smile. Then he hands, as the western sky lights up with the green flash. Captured by pirates, boys swarm over the rail with knives in their teeth. One with an enormous black beard down to his waist swings his cutlass at imaginary opponents with animal snarls and grunts and grimaces until the crew of the Great White rolls on the decks, pissing in their pants with laughter. Guarda Costa. The boys mutter. One puts a patch over one eye and scans the coast with an enormous wooden telescope. Kiki fucks Jerry, pulling a red cashmere scarf tied around his neck and grinning into his face. As Jerry ejaculates, blood gushes from his nose. Slowly, a room in an English manor house lights up. A picture on the wall shows an old gentleman wrapped in red shawls and scarves propped up in bed, with laudanum, medicine glass, tea, scones, and books on the night table beside him. Taking to his bed for the winter. A light shines on a huge four-poster bed. A man with a nightcap sits up suddenly. A naked radiant boy is standing at the foot of his bed. The man gasps, chokes, turns bright red and dies of apoplexy, blood gushing from his mouth and nose. Cities of the Red Night, spotlights bathe the papier-mâché walls in red light. The boys camp around putting on disease makeup. Juanito, the master of ceremonies, puts a red rubber flesh cluster in his navel. My dear, you look like Venus de Milo with a clock in her stomach. The boys pose with expressions of idiot lust. The spectators roll on the floor laughing. One turns blue in the face. Cyanide reaction. Medics on the double. Boys in white coats rush in and shoot him with a blackout dart. Piper boy with a bamboo flute in Lima, blue sky, color of his eyes. Smell of the sea. Dink is fucking Noah who turns into Audrey and Billy. It's me. It's me. I've landed. Hi, Bill. It's 200 years, Bill. I've landed. The pilgrimage may take many lifetimes. In many rooms, on many levels, the ancient whispering stage. Moving age with his binoculars, Audrey lays back in a chair masturbating. Bright pirates. Jerry comes in red wax. We see Tibet for a few seconds, people. A sepia cutback to the hospital. Depraved smile, sperm in a beaker. He plays Semper Fi to four Marine guards. Baby pictures declared in red letters of cutthroat trout. Red anticipation of fever drifts from the bed. See what he is looking at on stage. National emergency, age 15, holds up a string of stoplights. Jerry's radiant ghost may take many lifetimes. Jerry, the cabin boy, stands over the hills and far away. Lima, flash, it's me. The piper boy in Lima. Dink, I've landed. Long way to find you. Noah is in the library studying diagrams of mortars and grenades. He is drawing a cannon. A Chinese child in the doorway throws a firecracker underneath his chair. As the firecracker explodes, the cannon barrel tilts up at an angle. A backdrop of burning galleons falls in front of him. Audrey's boys are back on deck. Gas tank explodes into Maggie's. Flintlock rifle on the library table. Hans and Noah take off their shorts. When nicht von vorn den von hintern herum. If not from the front then around by the back way. As Noah bends over, the flintlock breaks at the breech. As Noah ejaculates, breech loading rifles pour withering fire into a column of Spanish soldiers. A float of a Spanish galleon moves slowly and ponderously across the gymnasium floor. On the deck, we see the Inquisition with stakes and garrotes, the conquistadores, the patrons, and governors, officers and bureaucrats and their modern equivalents, machos, and politicos swilling old par scotch and brandishing pearl-handled 45s. Immigration police in dark glasses. Passport. Documentos. Kelly as Apuk, spattered with black spots of decay, is fucking the young corn god in a pirate's chest overflowing with gold ducats and pieces of eight. As they come, a yellow haze like gaseous gold streams off them and wafts across the deck of the galleon. Machos clutch their throats, spit blood, and die. Noah hangs ejaculating in the same yellow haze of magical intention. The curtain is drawn for a moment and guns are piled up in front of him from his first cartridge rifle to M16s and bazookas, rocket guns, and field pieces. He is lowered with a slow sinuous movement by the Juicy Fruit twins. The twins are naked except for their sailor hats and white sneakers. Off stage, a voice bellows, "All right, you jokers." Battle stations. Noah and the twins are in the gun turret making calculations, taking the range. Yards, 23,000. Elevation, 0.6. The galleon is in the crosshairs of the sight. Jerry turns bright red as he presses the fire button. The galleon blows up and sinks into a prop sea. Panorama of Mexico, Central, and South America, music and singing. Naked Spanish soldiers washing in a courtyard, jetting the soap around like a soccer ball and tackling each other, washing each other's backs. In trees by a river, boys with idiot expressions jack off, snapping and gurgling like fish as they shake fruit into the water. Audrey is naked against a backdrop of jungle and ruined pyramids. He gets a hard-on and levitates as it comes up. He lands from a hang glider in a red desert. Jerry, the cabin boy, meets him in a lizard suit that leaves his crotch and ass naked. Me lizard boy, very good for fuck. Rainbow colors play over his body. Spanish galleon, movement by the Juicy Fruit twins, on the deck we see white sneakers, bureaucrats calculating the range, hand hair turns bright red on fire button. The galleon passport documentos is blown out of the water and so a vast territory as Apuk spatters the panorama with insurgents. All the boys in yellow haze of skin tight magic transparent for a moment come to attention in a line from the first cartridge gun to M16S, naked haze like gold gas. Tension. Audrey and Noah ejaculating angels in rainbow intention. At ease. Naked soldiers sniff bazookas and field pieces. Peace does not last forever. Red night into Maggie's. The boys dance around a fire, throwing in screaming sirens. The boys trill, wave nooses, and stick their tongues out. This was but a prelude to the BA Dan riots and the attack on Yaswata. The boys change costumes, rushing from stage to stage. The Iguana twins dance out of an Angkor Wat Uxmal Tenochtitlan set. The female twin peels off his cunt suit and they replicate a column of Viet Cong. The Countess, with a luminous dial alarm clock ticking in her stomach and crocodile's mask, stalks Audrey with her courtiers and green guards. Police boy shoots a green guard. Clinch Todd as death with a scythe decapitates the goddess best. John Alistair Peterson, in a pink shirt with sleeve garters, stands on a platform draped with the Star-Spangled Banner and the Union Jack. Standing on the platform with him is Nimon in an ankle-length cloak made from the skin of electric eels. The board enters and takes their place in a section for parents and faculty. Peterson speaks, "Ladies and gentlemen, this character is the only survivor of a very ancient race with very strange powers. Now some of you may be taken aback by this character." Nimon drops off his robe and stands naked. An ammoniacal fishy odor reeks off his body, a smell of some artifact for a forgotten function or a function not yet possible. His body is a terracotta red color with black freckles like holes in the flesh. And I may tell you in strictest confidence that he and he alone is responsible for the Red Knight. John Peterson gets younger and turns into the Piper Boy. He draws a flute from a goatskin sheath at his belt and starts to play. Nimon does a shuffling sinuous dance singing in a harsh fish language that tears the throat like sandpaper. With a cry that seems to implode into his lungs, he throws himself backward onto a hassock, legs in the air, seizing his ankles with both hands. His exposed rectum is jet black surrounded by erectile red hairs. The hole begins to spin with the smell of ozone and hot iron. And his body is spinning like a top, faster and faster, floating in the air above the cushion, transparent and fading, as the red sky flares behind him. A courtier feels the perfume draining off him. It's a. A board member opens his mouth. It's a. His false teeth fly out. Wigs, clothes, chairs, props, are all draining into the spinning black disc. It's a black hole. Naked bodies are sucked inexorably forward, writhing screaming like souls pulled into hell. The lights go out and then the red sky. Lights come on to show the ruins of BA Dan. Children play in the Caspa tunnels, posing for photos taken by German tourists with rucksacks. The old city is deserted. A few miles upriver there is a small fishing and hunting village. Here, pilgrims can rest and outfit themselves for the journey that lies ahead. But what of Yaswata? Not a stone remains of the ancient citadel. The narrator shoves his mic at the natives who lounge in front of run-down sheds and fish from ruined piers. They shake their heads. Ask Old Man Brink. He'll know if anybody does. Old Man Brink is mending a fish trap. Is it Waring or Noah Blake? Yaswata. He says that many years ago, a god dreamed Yaswata. The old man puts his palms together and rests his head on his hands, closing his eyes. He opens his eyes and turns his hands out. But the dream did not please the god. So when he woke up, Yasuada was gone. A painting on a screen. Sign pointing, whacked as Nafanagatis. Road winding into the distance. Over the hills and far away. Audrey sits at a typewriter in his attic room, his back to the audience. In a bookcase to his left, we see the Book of Knowledge, Coming of Age in Samoa, The Green Hat, The Plastic Age, All the Sad Young Men, Bar 20 Days, Amazing Stories, Weird Tales, Adventure Stories, and a stack of little blue books. In front of him is the etching depicting Captain Strobe on the gallows. Audrey glances up at the picture and types. The rescue. An explosion rumbles through the warehouse. Walls and roof shake and fall on Audrey and the audience. As the warehouse collapses, it turns to dust. The entire cast is standing in a desert landscape looking at the sunset spread across the western sky like a vast painting, the red walls of Tamagi's, the Ba'dan riots, the smoldering ruins of Yasuada and Manhattan, whacked as glimmers in the distance. The scenes shift and change, tropical seas and green islands, a burning galleon sinks into a gray-blue sea of clouds, rivers, jungles, villages, Greek temples, and there are the white frame houses of Harbor Point above the Blue Lake. Port Roger shaking in the wind, fireworks displays against a luminous green sky, expanses of snow, swamps, and deserts where vast red mesas tower into the sky, fragile aircraft over burning cities, flaming arrows, dimming to mauves and grays, and finally in a last burst of light the enigmatic face of Waring as his eyes light up in a blue flash. He bows three times and disappears into the gathering dusk. Return to Port Roger. This must be it. Warped planks in a tangle of trees and vines. The pool of the palace is covered with algae. A snake slithers into the green water. Weeds grow through the rusty shell of a bucket in the hayman. The stairs leading to the upper porch have fallen. Nothing here but the smell of empty years. How many years? I can't be sure. I am carrying a teakwood box with a leather handle. The box is locked. I have the key, but I will not open the box here. I take the path to Dink's house. Sometimes paths last longer than roads. There it is on the beach, just as I remember it. Sand has covered the steps and drifted across the floor. Smell of nothing and nobody there. I sit down on the sand-covered steps and look out to the harbor at the ship that brought me here and that will take me away. I take out my key and open the box and leaf through the yellow pages. The last entry is from many years ago. We were in Panama waiting for the Spanish. I am back in the fort watching the advancing soldiers through a telescope, closer and closer to death. Go back. I am screaming without a throat, with a tongue, get in your galleons and go back to Spain. Hearing the final sonorous knell of Spain as church bells silently implode into Sisters of Mary, communions, confessions. Paco. Joselito. Enriquette. Father Kelly is giving them absolution. There is pain in his voice, it's too easy. Then our shells and mortars rip through them like a great iron fist. A few still take cover and return fire. Paco catches a bullet in the chest. Sad shrinking face. He pulls my head down as the gray lips whisper, I want the priest. I didn't want to write about this or what followed. Guayaquil, Lima, Santiago, and all the others I didn't see. The easiest victories are the most costly in the end. I have blown a hole in time with firecracker. Let others step through. Into what bigger and bigger firecrackers? Better weapons led to better and better weapons, until the earth is a grenade with the fuse burning. I remember a dream of my childhood. I am in a beautiful garden. As I reach out to touch the flowers, they wither under my hands. A nightmare feeling of foreboding and desolation comes over me as a great mushroom-shaped cloud darkens the earth. A few may get through the gate in time. Like Spain, I am bound to the past.
Velkommen til det her afsnit af Ask the Dust, som i aften kommer til at være dels på dansk, men dels også med min gode ven, Tine. Og vi har igennem en del år arbejdet på at skulle lave noget med noget renaissancemusik.
Ja.
Og nu blev det tid.
Ja, nu er du taget til Amager for at mødes med støvet, som i dag er mig.
Ja.
Ja.
Vi skal simpelthen kigge ind i datidens støvede kikkert. Mm. Og kigge på nogle bangers fra gamle dage.
Ja. Og jeg tror, den her liste, Claus, faktisk så vidt som jeg husker det, så opstod en... Måske fordi vi havde en tanke om, at vi skulle lave en udstilling på mit daværende galleri i Malmø, som hed Delphi.
Lige præcis.
Og jeg kan faktisk ikke rigtig huske, hvad omdrejningspunktet var andet, end at vi skulle have sådan en slags lille snit-workshop.
Lige præcis.
Det var sådan, at vi ville gerne snitte nogle figurer af træ.
Snitte og have det fedt med noget.
Ja, præcis. Høre nogle sakse bag os samtidig. Men jeg kan ikke rigtig huske, hvordan det kom sig, eller hvordan... noget som helst.
Det er forsvundet i tårerne også her.
Ja, vi ville gerne have tjekket jo også, men altså internettet herude i Amager, det er så dårligt, så altså man kan ikke... Så jo længere man kommer fra centerkilden, eller hvad man skal sige, så det er internettet dårligt. Så vi har ikke kunne gå tilbage i vores korrespondance. Så, men det måske er det også meget fedt at gætte sig frem til, og også... Noget vi også på forhånd har talt lidt om, det er, hvor meget vi faktisk gætter os frem til forskellige detaljer om den her musik. Fordi der ikke er nogen af os, der er klassisk skolet i det her overhovedet. Og det er faktisk bare for at sige, at vi aner ikke noget om det her, vi kommer til at sidde og snakke om. Men,
til gengæld så nyder vi det.
Ja, præcis.
Og har det fedt med det.
Ja.
Og det er nok en af grundstenene for programmet
præcis.
I aften.
Så der er en enormt stor lytteglæde, selvom vi ikke kender så meget teknisk til noget af det, vi hører.
Men, præcis.
Og det har vi også talt om, måske kan være til vores fordel. Det er jo nok også noget til at sige, når vi sidder for at lave et program om det. Men okay, men lad os sige, det er nogle ret grønne ører på den måde. Der
fuldstændig. Vi kommer muligvis til at træde nogle kyndige folk over tæerne.
Ja.
Sige noget forkert, eller give et forkert årstal, eller sådan noget.
Ja.
Det skal man ikke tage så tungt.
Nej.
Musikken lyder stadigvæk helt overdrevet godt.
Helt vildt fedt. Ja.
Og nu sidder jeg lige og kigger på sådan en liste over, hvad vi skal starte med.
Mm.
Skal man starte fra toppen? Skal man starte friskt? Skal man starte blødt?
Jamen, det er da et godt spørgsmål. Det handler vel også meget om, hvad vi... Det kan måske også være noget med, hvordan vi kunne tænke os at præsentere hinanden for nogle numre eller sådan noget. Fordi det er jo ikke, fordi vi egentlig... Men vi kan også sige, at den her liste blev sammensat ved, at vi sendte hinanden numre på nettet, på Messenger måske eller sådan noget.
Ja.
Og så vi har egentlig ikke snakket om de her numre før. Sådan. Vi har bare... Send nummer, sådan tjek den her ud, den er fed.
Ja.
Så måske det er en meget, meget god intro for os begge, faktisk, at høre, hvad vi synes, hvis der er noget særligt at sætte på de her numre, som vi synes er fedt.
Det er en vildt god idé. Og jeg tror måske, jeg har fundet det perfekte track.
Ja, ej, hvor spændende. Okay,
fordi
klart.
Fordi at der står...
Okay, der har en fed titel også, yes.
John Sales og Der Hund. Og så står der German Guitar Music.
Ja, okay.
Hvad end det lige skal betyde.
Ja, ja, ja.
Så lad os...
Tysk guitar musik.
Lad os sætte den på.
Det kan være mange og meget. Godt. Thank you.
Ja.
Det var da et skønt nummer, synes jeg, Claus.
Der var sådan lidt frisk stemning der, ja.
Ja.
Det kunne måske være et godt nummer at snitte til.
Ja, det tænker jeg måske. Snitte små hunde.
Ja. Til. Det passer der hund. Perfekt.
Ja.
Til titlen.
En munter lille hund.
Ja.
Ja. Jamen altså, så tænker jeg da bare, at jeg kører lidt videre ja. I guitar-genren måske. Og det tænker jeg at gøre med det her nummer af komponisten Kapsberger, Johannes Hieronymus Kapsberger, eller Kapsberger er det sikkert, og det er John Lissevand, der spiller på det. Jeg kan det hele taget, jeg tror, at jeg i det hele taget har en del nummer på listen, med, som har Lissevand ja. På sig.
Det er...
Men han er også bare god til at spille guitar. Ja. Her kommer han.
Thank you.
fantastisk.
Det var Tjekkoen, eller jeg ved ikke, hvordan man siger det, men muligvis så.
Ja.
Ja.
Vi talte lige om, mens vi hørte det her track, om du ligesom så nogle billeder for dig.
Ja.
Hvor du lige nævnte Rolf Lislevands...
Ja. Strumming.
Strumming-teknik.
Ja, præcis.
Vil du ikke lige beskrive det der billede igen? Det var ret flot, synes jeg.
Men det er som om, at hans, der er sådan et rigtig flot klip, hvor han sidder og spiller en tarantella.
Ja.
Så man muligvis også tænker, at vi skal høre senere, fordi det er så... Det er vi gætter på, det er de numre, jeg har sendt til dengang. Ja. Det kan vi jo også lige gå som disclaimer, at der er noget, der er gået lidt galt i vores listeopsamlings, altså arkivopsamling her, så vi gætter lidt på, hvad det er, jeg faktisk har tilføjet listen dengang. For vi kan ikke helt finde ud af det, så...
Nej.
Vi går tilbage og kigger på, hvad for noget fed renaissancemusik har jeg måske hørt i den periode. Og det vil være nogle numre, jeg vil gætte på, jeg har hørt i den periode. Og, men det, jeg så ser for mig, det er, at der er en super fed video, hvor at, Rolf Lislevand, han spiller en tarantella, og hans højre hånd, ligesom, den bevægelse, der sker, er ligesom, på en måde alt for langsom og fattet og elegant til sådan, det her ekstremt hurtige... siger det sådan. Det er ligesom det for, der sker en eller anden sådan et eller andet sammenfald mellem, som ikke hænger sammen med det jeg ser, klar, det jeg hører i hvert fald.
Ja.
Så det ser jeg kan jeg måske se, når jeg hører det, men ellers er det selv. Men tænker du på noget, når du eller sådan
altså noget? Jeg bare tænkte lige ved det her nummer var også rigtig meget omkring instrumenteringen og hvordan der er sådan en orgelstemme, der ligesom kommer ind. Cirka midtvejs eller sådan noget.
Ja.
Og så egentlig forsvinder et godt stykke tid igen.
Ja.
Og så kommer ind igen. Og så er der det her sådan hurtige cembalo-løb til sidst.
Ja.
Og hvordan det... det er muligvis forkert, men følelsen ret moderne på en eller anden måde.
Ja.
Det der med, at der bare lige sådan stikker noget frem, og så egentlig forsvinder igen.
Ja.
Som man også meget bruger sådan mere ny musikproduktion, ikke? Til ligesom at holde et eller andet semi-kedeligt beat i gang, så drysser man lidt noget forskelligt på. Som...
Er det sådan en trickster, eller sådan noget, der kommer ind og hæver det andet sted hen, eller sådan noget?
Eller bare lige sådan spejser det lidt om.
Ja, okay. Nå.
Så det virkede bare meget moderne på en eller anden måde, synes jeg.
Okay, fedt. Jeg har ikke tænkt på det på den måde, men det er spændende at tænke videre over.
Og så var det jo bare helt sindssygt melodiøst, det der. Det var virkelig en banger, der vil noget, altså.
Men det er også sådan en, det er også en banger, hvor at, ham Kapsberger, han har mærket sådan, okay, jeg har ramt et, omkvæd, der bare spiller her. Hvad hvis jeg bare bliver ved med at spille det igen og igen og igen?
Jamen, det er rigtigt.
Og så kan der komme nogle lidt sådan forskellige sådan lidt mellemstykker og sådan noget, men lad os holde os til temaet.
Ja.
Og hvilket tema?
Lige præcis. Så, men det, når man nu har fundet guldklumpen,
præcis.
Så skal den da også bare...
Jamen, bestemt. Lige med den.
Køres igennem.
Lige ved den list.
Ja.
Og der, noget af det, der måske også blev spændende ved det der nummer, var, at vi var lidt uenige om, hvad der spillede for et instrument midt i det hele. Vi var faktisk ikke rigtig...
Jamen, det var orgel. Der var også et bud på noget fløjtelignende på et tidspunkt.
Ja, præcis.
Det skal måske også siges, jeg har taget sådan en stor, flot, meget besværlig firkantet bog med af en, der hedder David Monroe, som er sådan en reenactment-musiker. Ja. Så vidt jeg har forstået. Nå, men den hedder altså Instruments of the Middle Ages and Renaissance.
Det er et super spændende billede, der er på forsiden. Jeg kan måske beskrive, at det ligner, at der har været en fed fest der for kammerorkestret. Ikke? Og de har haft papegøjer med, og de har haft en bæves der, og de har haft en tukan eddermuk med os. Men så har de bare smidt alt, hvad nodark og mandolin og kontrabas og... hele måde for at gå om til et bord og kigge i en bog.
Altså, hvad står der i den bog? Måske er det den her bog.
Godt nok et... men de kunne også, men noget der er så langt med... Og jeg tænker, okay.
Ja, jamen prøv at se de der vinduer der.
Ja, noget der også er ret skønt... Eller jeg tænker opbygningen af det her, det er jo selvfølgelig ikke tilfældigt, der er der et eller andet. Altså det, jeg vil... tænke først var måske, at det var sådan et godt naturmort, eller sådan noget, altså man kan se de der efterladenskaber, detritus efter en sådan fed fest, og så kan man se ude bagved, der er sådan en, der er ligesom et udkig til sådan en horisont med en enormt frodigt skovlandskab. Ja, ja. Og så fra siden er der ligesom en, der stikker en trompet ud, og muligvis giver et trut, vi ved ikke. Men så er der det her frustrerende element i baggrunden af dem, som sidder og læser, som jeg ikke kan få til at passe sammen med.
Nej, altså det må være helt usædvanligt spændende, det der står i den der bog.
Ja, det var det.
Men der er også for eksempel en, der står med en fløjte og en guitar, så det kan måske faktisk være, at det er det nye hit, hvor de lige skal tjekke.
Det er faktisk damerne, de er gået over for at spille for. Først så havde de øvet sig for papegøjerne og tukanerne.
Nu.
Og så er det damerne, der skal spilles for.
Helt sikkert.
Måske.
Måske.
Måske. Vi ved det ikke. Og hvorom alting gør.
Der, så har vi altså prøvet at konsultere den her bog.
Ja, oraklet her.
For at se, om vi kunne
blive. Det var, altså det var et vildt billede, det der.
Vi er her i Woodwind-sektionen.
Syv heste med syv blæse personer ovenpå. Okay.
Ja, det, hvad hedder
det? De spiller noget woodwind også.
Ja. jeg ved ikke, om jeg har noget woodwind. Men sådan en saltarello, det kunne man godt forestille sig har sådan noget lignende over. Så skal vi prøve sådan en?
Ja, jeg hører.
Nu fortalte Tina lige om nogle spændende drillepartiturer,
ja.
Der blev lavet.
Ja, jeg skal prøve at huske, hvad de hedder også. Det kan jeg i hvert fald sikkert lede mig frem til. Men sådan nogle drillepartiturer, som man brugte i nogle sammenhænge i renaissancen. Og som det var meningen, at man ligesom skulle udfordre sangerne i noget. Så de her papir vil måske blive udformet som et øje, eller som et hjerte, eller altså selve node og teksterne. Og det
er jo ret vildt. Altså, det kræver også lidt et teknisk niveau, tænker jeg, for at man gider at tage den til spøj.
Ja, bestemt.
Jeg håber, at de har gjort det i hvert fald.
Ja, det må man da håbe.
Det skulle næsten tro. Nå, hvor spændende.
Jamen, jeg prøver lige at finde ud af, hvad det hedder, mens vi hører et nummer.
Ja, hvad skal vi høre nu?
Det er da et godt spørgsmål. Jeg sidder lige og kigger på listen, som jo er, jamen måske vi skal høre, Måske vi skal høre det her nummer, som jeg synes er, det er fra et album, der hedder Santiago de Morcia. Og det er faktisk også med ham, Lislevand, han sniger sig ind i mange forskellige af de ensembler, jeg rigtig godt kan lide. Og det var ikke det første nummer på pladen, som jeg kunne lide, men hvilket ofte er ret skønt, tænker jeg. Altså, når man får gennemhørt den der plade sådan super meget, så er det så, altså, kan det godt være, at man godt stadig kan lide de første bangers, man hørte, men sådan, der er noget, der bliver mere, der er mere kompliceret og mere mærkeligt, som man kommer til på en anden måde.
Ja.
Som er sådan lidt tvangsagtig på en måde, eller man skal, lige skal tvinges lidt igennem.
Ja, eller også bare sådan åbner sig over.
Ja, præcis. Ja, bestemt. Mm. Og den her er sådan et nummer, hvor at, jeg ved ikke, opbygningen er også ret spøj, synes jeg, det er sådan, jeg ved ikke, hvor, jo, faktisk den, passer det jo ikke helt det der med ikke at se ting for sig. Faktisk jeg forestiller mig lidt sådan, at jeg skal forklare, men nu når jeg skal forklare den her stemning for dig, så tænker jeg på sådan, okay, forløbet af den her sang er, at der sidder nogen hjemme i The Shire og bare hygger sig helt vildt med noget fed, hyggelig musik og sådan noget, og så kommer der bare et sådan ondt stykke. Altså, så er det bare ikke hyggeligt mere, men så er det bare til gengæld ud til hest.
Ja.
Altså, så er det virkelig sådan et rigtigt rytternummer.
Wow.
Så det, ja, du kan, det er noget, du ser, om du kan høre på noget af de forskellige ting, der sker.
Det vil jeg godt.
Ja. Den hedder Foliesca Lejas, tror jeg, tænker jeg, man siger, måske.
Mm. Thank you.
Ja, Claus.
Sikkert er et fuldstændig vildt nummer.
Ja, det er. Det synes jeg også. Og vi, jeg kunne ikke rigtig dy mig, mens vi havde hørt det, for bare splændløs om, jeg synes, det var der sket. Hvornår var det? Så jeg har da godt nok egentlig fået manet det der med, at jeg ikke så nogen billeder til jorden ret meget.
Det kan man sige. Men jeg synes, det var til gengæld.
Ja.
Det fedtede jo fuldstændig med.
Ja.
Narrativet med, at man ligesom sidder og hygger sig, og lige pludselig så banger de på den lille grønne runde der og siger, nu er det
op til hesten. Nu er op på hesten.
Og så kommer de, der er virkelig lidt af sådan en galop-agtig stykke der.
Ja, præcis.
Det var da helt vildt.
Den er også opbygget over en klassisk fortællerform, tænker jeg, som er det der med hjemme, ude, hjemme, ikke?
Fuldstændig.
Så måske også der, hvor godt den rent den også, det ved jeg ikke. Den er meget festligt nummer, synes jeg. Jeg, selv når jeg hører, altså når jeg plejer at høre det, så sådan, jeg tror, fordi jeg ved, sådan, at der kommer det der sindssyge stykke, så er der så meget suspense i det, i det stykke før, så det er sådan på en måde bare noget, jeg venter på, der bliver overstået, indtil, det, indtil året bare går, kommer ind og siger, og så er vi i gang.
Det giver da vildt god mening.
Ja.
Nu talte vi lige om David Monroe før, og nu kunne jeg faktisk lige se, at der var et track her.
Ja.
Hvor han spiller på.
Ja.
Scaramella va alla guerra.
Ja.
Sådan på godt jysk-spansk, ja, som man siger. Men lad os prøve at,
ja,
at sætte det på.
Bestemt.